Hello, Marion Pallister, Justice and Peace Commissioner and Chair of Pax Christi Scotland here. So, after all the pilgrimages, the school strikes, the protests, the petitions, we've arrived at COP26. And I'm sure that all our prayers are concentrated on seeing concrete decisions that will make real differences to our common home and for future generations. It would be good to think that the decision makers will respect the voices that have been raised in the months running up to the conference. Because COP26 is about our lives, about the lives of our children and grandchildren, not the reputations of the political leaders, and certainly it shouldn't be about the financial losses and gains of those powerful players in industries who are no doubt going to play offsetting games that won't achieve the desperately needed outcomes that will genuinely save our common home. It was the feast day of Pope John the 23rd earlier this month, and I couldn't help thinking how apt so many of his words are for our situation today. And of course, Pope Francis echoes many of his ideas. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all those world leaders gathered in Glasgow started each day reflecting on these words from that saint of Vatican II, who said, "The solidarity which binds all men together as members of a common family makes it impossible for wealthy nations to look with indifference upon the hunger, misery, and poverty of other nations whose citizens are unable to enjoy even elementary human rights. The nations of the world are becoming more and more dependent on one another, and it will not be possible to preserve a lasting peace so long as glaring economic and social imbalances persist." I feel that too little emphasis has been put on the fact that peace, as he said, is threatened by the climate emergency. Those who go hungry are of course going to try to move somewhere else, to where floods haven't washed away land and crops, to where drought hasn't left their whole country in a state of food insecurity. They're going to seek a place where lack of water to drive hydro plants, seen last century as the answer to providing power in so many countries, literally doesn't leave them in the dark. The migration scares so many in wealthier countries, of course. The Home Secretary here continues to act like Queen Canute in her efforts to evade the so-called tide of migrants heading our way. Willing to welcome a limited number of refugees from war-torn countries, she looks with, as Pope John said, indifference upon the hunger, misery, and poverty of other nations. And yet, as Pope John 23rd went on to say, the nations of the world are becoming more and more dependent on one another, and it will not be possible to preserve a lasting peace so long as glaring economic and social imbalances persist. And I make no apologies for repeating what he said, and pray that the words might be heard where they matter most. We're all trying to get the ear of the COP26 deliberators. The Fair Trade Foundation, for example, has been running a petition which says that 1.8 million farmers and workers are asking politicians at COP26 to listen to their expertise and invest in smallholder farming communities as they face the climate crisis head on. So many of those 1.8 million farmers may be sitting down tonight and discussing with their families whether they should continue trying to grow their coffee or cocoa beans. Some of them, however, have already taken matters into their own hands, and that is the really positive message we can take from the climate crisis. People are taking matters into their own hands. The majority of those farmers are not fleeing. Instead, they are taking the kind of measures we might hope would happen in those countries, our countries, that are most responsible for the damage in the first place. Many farmers in low-income countries have been working to reduce their emissions as much as possible. In Ethiopia, the Oromia Fair Trade Cooperative bought biogas stoves. Now 10,000 coffee farmers have efficient stoves that reduce carbon emissions by up to 70%. In Honduras, coffee farmers from the Cocasjol Cooperative run reforestation projects, planting tens of thousands of trees with the support of their fair trade premium. That's what we pay when we buy a jar of fair trade coffee, and with their own money, of course. Since deforestation accounts for nearly 20% of all greenhouse gas emissions, every tree planted makes a difference. And they say that the 50,000 trees they planted some 4 years ago have helped enormously. It's not just about capturing carbon, they're using the trees to shade the coffee and to protect the soil. Politicians have been promising to limit global warming to below 2 degrees centigrade since the Paris Agreement was set up in 2012, but they haven't really done anything. So it's shaming and inspiring that those who've done least to create the problem have already taken action. But, and it's a big but, what they are able to do is simply not enough. And that's why their voice must be heard. They say quite plainly that the promises broken since 2015, when so many signed the Paris Agreement, then did so little, are harming farmers' livelihoods. Poverty is growing in these agricultural communities, threatening not just the farmers, but also the future of the food they grow. And let's be selfish about this. That's the food that we eat worldwide each day. It's our morning coffee. It's the bananas we smart people whiz in our smoothies. It's the strawberries we consider we've a right to have on our tables year round rather than seasonally. And so very, very much more. These farmers live in Asia, in Africa, in Latin America and the Caribbean. Market forces have made them put all their cocoa beans in one basket, so to speak. The fair trade system keeps them in business, and we must never forget that for as long as those market forces don't allow a level playing field. Now, the climate crisis threatens even those with a fair trade safety net. There was a promise to provide $100 billion annually to support low-income countries to combat climate change. Why are fair trade farmers so anxious that this sum really does materialise? Because it would mean they could meet the costs of farming in those ways that will withstand the extremes of drought, flood and fire that they are facing, and in ways that will produce fewer emissions. Surely these negotiators in Glasgow can see the sense and the justice in that. There's also a call for wealthier nations to be honest about carbon emissions and not dump their climate duties on the countries that have done least to damage the environment. The sneaky deals to offset emissions have to stop, and there has to be a recognition of the real carbon footprint countries like ours, the US and China actually create. If not, then those farmers in Asia, Africa, Latin America and the Caribbean will face far more of the floods, storms, droughts and other climate extremes that we've seen on our news, and perhaps channel hopped because it was too upsetting to watch, or dare I say it, too much more of that climate change stuff. That climate change stuff kills people and the creatures we were set on this earth to nurture and protect. It destroys the crops that feed us, and that kills more people. There's no point in trying to put this in nice euphemistic phrases. The climate emergency is a killer. There's an amazing, incredibly admirable generosity of spirit about what the fair trade farmers have been asking for. Of course they want trade deals that benefit them, and about time too, but they're urging governments to avoid doing the kind of deals that necessitates high levels of carbon emissions, such as those that encourage dirty energy from fossil fuels. The Fair Trade Foundation says governments must put the planet before profit. If they don't, farmers in climate-vulnerable countries will continue to be exploited and continue to be vulnerable to climate extremes. Where is the justice in that? How can we expect peace when people are under such threats? That really would be looking with indifference upon the hunger, misery, and poverty of other nations. If the next couple of weeks produce nothing but more hot air, more blah, 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 as Greta Thunberg describes it, then the babies born during COP26 won't grow up to know what coffee, chocolate, or bananas are. If the climate damage continues, it isn't simply that soil will be irretrievably damaged, but that crop diseases and new pests will move in. A fungus called coffee rust is already threatening the future of coffee farming. By 2050, what on earth will today's babies be eating and drinking? Pope Francis has given the world such good advice for caring for our common home in his Laudato Si document. He has echoed in his Fratelli Tutti encyclical the words of Pope John the 23rd. Remember what I quoted earlier, that solidarity which binds all men together as members of a common family makes it impossible for wealthy nations to look with indifference upon the hunger, misery and poverty of other nations whose citizens are unable to enjoy even elementary human rights. In the next few days, let's pray that the negotiators will understand the need for that solidarity, recognize the impossibility of indifference to those countries most badly and most innocently affected by climate change, and listen not just to our strident Northern Hemisphere voices of protest, but to the utter common sense of fair trade farmers who have it sussed, who know what needs to be done, who are already trying their level best to do it, but who need the backing of actions, not just empty promises. It's not just about the next few days, but about forever. We'll know all too soon whether these world leaders will really put their money where their mouths are. And in the meantime, we can only hope that they'll be influenced by whatever message Pope Francis sends them and by his Laudato Si prayer for our earth. So I'll finish with parts of that prayer, again with no apologies for returning to it or for the fact that so many people of faith will be sharing it at this time. All-powerful God, you are present in the whole universe and in the smallest of your creatures. You embrace with your tenderness all that exists. Pour out upon us the power of your love, that we may protect life and beauty. Fill us with peace, that we may live as brothers and sisters, harming no one. Touch the hearts of those who look only for gain at the expense of the poor and the earth. Teach us to discover the worth of each thing, to be filled with awe and contemplation, to recognize that we are profoundly united with every creature as we journey towards your infinite light. We thank you for being with us each day. Encourage us, we pray, in our struggle for justice, love, and peace. Amen, and thank you for listening.